Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, you're listening to Known For, a filmography podcast. This is Bob Shoy.
Hey, it's Becca.
And this is a Four and One More episode. Now, listeners, if you listen to this contemporaneously, you will be expecting the Chadwick Boseman episode. But we're putting that back by 1 month because we wanted to get his entire back catalogue, and his final film is not out until next month. So to fill in the gap, we decided to chuck in an extra Four and One More from a very often requested topic. So we've already done Pixar and we already did Studio Ghibli. So it's time for us to talk about the other major animation studio, the major one, Walt Disney.
Yay.
So for this, we've decided to pick between the Walt Disney animated classics
collection.
List of films. Yeah, there's 58, I think, as of the time
30.
Of this recording. So if you're not sure of the Disney animated classics, there is a banner which some of the Disney films are released under, which they are the classics. And they start with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. The most recent one was Frozen 2 as the time of this recording.
I've just gone to get... We've got a big list. I've just gone to pick it up. Because there's definitely... Personally, I feel there's definitely like... ages, like there's groups and collections.
Yeah, there's eras.
Yeah.
And I think even within Disney fandom, like they know of the eras. They do have names. It's like, you know, the classics, the war years, the Disney Renaissance.
Yeah.
Like the dark times, whatever. There are names for the eras, but I'm not the biggest like Disney head. I know some people are well into Disney. But we're going to talk about our favourite Disney films anyway.
It was a big part of my childhood.
Yeah, I think it's a big part of most people's childhood. Like we said before, everyone had like Disney VHSs in the house.
Yeah.
If they grew up, you know, sort of in our era. But the ones you had in your house are the ones that you seem to like, be drawn
like
towards.
Endeared towards. Definitely. We ended up, I think when I was really young, we had like a select few.
Mm.
But then I remember we had loads. Like
right.
At one point, we had like loads and loads and loads.
I don't know how many. I think we probably had like 10. I think a lot of people have like about 10 different ones in there. And, you know, they could be any bunch. This is why some people have like weird favorites. Like some people love I don't know, like a friend of the podcast Beef, who I podcast with, Do Weird Tales and the Unexplainable with, his favorite Disney film is The Rescuers Down Under. So that's what I mean by like it's a weird pick, but that's just one of the ones he had in his house, so that's one he
drawn
loves
to them. Yeah,
and I feel like a lot of people's favorite films are like they're just the ones they had growing up. So I'm fully expecting us to have the same number one.
Right,
we haven't said it to each other, but I'm pretty sure we have the same Disney film because it's something we've talked about a lot.
This is the only reason we're
and
together,
and it's not
really
the most obvious pick. So that's a good example of it.
That's why we've lasted so long.
Exactly.
The same Disney.
So I guess we'll come to that when we get to number one, unless there's a massive curveball and we have different number one to each other.
I don't know you.
Yeah. All this time, we saw you're a massive Home on the Range fan. So yeah, we're going to talk about the our favourite four and one more Disney animated classics. Now, the list is slightly different in the UK and the US.
Right.
There's a couple of differences. Can I just have that list?
It's like dinosaur.
So yeah, I've got the differences here is the UK list includes the film The Wild.
Right.
That is not on the US list.
Okay.
And I personally haven't seen that.
Me neither.
I've seen like 95% of these films though.
Yeah.
And then the two editions that are in the US classics that aren't part of the UK classics are Dinosaur, mm-hmm. which I have seen.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think that holds up very well. And
that's like anime. It's like computer
animated. It's the first computer animated theatrical release for Disney.
Mm.
Not sure it's before Toy Story.
I think it was a big deal.
It was a big deal when it came out. And then the other one, which is part of the US classics, not part of the UK, is the sort of 2000s Winnie the Pooh movie.
Right.
Which I have seen.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I've not seen. I don't think I have.
Yeah, I've seen that one. It's the more recent one. It's just called Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that's part of the US classics, not the UK classics. So they're the only differences. The rest of them are the same. I'm not going to run through all 58 films here.
Yeah.
I think most people know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only a couple of sequels that are included as classics.
Yeah.
Most of the sequel films are not in the classics banner.
They all went like straight to VHS and stuff.
Yeah, well, the first one was Return of Jafar.
Right.
And that was such a big deal and made them so much money. But it wasn't a classic. There was a lot of confusion. It was basically just four episodes of the animated series, like, smashed together.
Yeah.
To launch, that was Disney's foray into TV animation.
Mm-hmm.
So the only sequels that are part of the classics, there are a few, are the Winnie the Pooh one.
Yeah.
That's a sequel to The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Rescuers Down Under.
Yeah.
Sequel to The Rescuers. Frozen 2.
Mm-hmm.
Sequel to Frozen, obviously. But
incredibly famous. Don't know why.
Ralph Breaks the Internet. Sequel to Wreck-It Ralph. That's included in the classics. I think it's all to do with the budget. If they have a proper film budget as a sequel, then it's included.
There was a lot of stuff happening like in like the late 90s and stuff that was just like, oh, we're just smashing these out.
Yeah, there's one more. Oh, Fantasia 2000 is a classic as a sequel to Fantasia.
Yeah.
So they are the only sequels that are included, in case anyone was wondering.
Hmm.
But who's going first? Do you want to just toss a coin? I can't remember who actually goes first now.
I'll go first.
You go first?
Yeah.
There we go. Straight in. Okay, Becca, what's your number four?
My number four is The Aristocats.
That is way higher than anyone's expecting that film to be on any list.
I think purely for sentimental reasons. My sister, this is probably my sister's number one, I reckon. Or maybe that and like Lion King. I just remember as a kid we watched the shit out of this film.
Right.
It's so catchy. I'm a big cat like lover anyway, and I think it just like hit all the right spots for.
It doesn't have like as many songs.
No, but that's
it
songs
has got like
good.
A cool jazzy soundtrack, and obviously it has Everybody Wants to Be a Cat.
Amazing. That's stuck in my head now that you've even just said it.
I'll be honest. I think a lot of people will be like, really, Aristocats? Like, oh my God. Like, a lot of people do not like this film. Like, I think it's kind of trash.
7.1.
I actually am a massive fan of this. And for a little brief period of my childhood, this was like my favourite Disney film.
Mm. I think I liked it as well because, like the jazz element was so like cool and like off the beaten track kind of thing. Like, I would never, as a kid, come in contact with any jazz music.
Oh, there's another good song in this.
Yeah.
Thomas O'Malley.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do. Yeah. So O'Malley good. The Alley Cat. Did you have a crush on Thomas O'Malley?
No.
He's quite suave. Did you have a crush on a cat? Like, no, I didn't have a crush on Thomas O'Malley. But he was like quite debonair, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Charming. He's a bit like George Clooney, Thomas O'Malley.
he's like the lovable rogue, isn't he?
Yeah, bad boy. Wrong side of the tracks. He's it's like Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah, a little bit. It's the cat version.
Mm.
Except there's no spaghetti and meatballs involved.
No, cats don't like spaghetti and meatballs, from what I've heard.
I just really liked it. I liked the geese and I liked the
Abigail and Amelia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like all of his ragtag group of like jazz cat friends.
There is another song when she's trying to learn piano. Because they try and play piano. Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't seen this for a long time.
Me neither. I've not seen it for a long, long, long time. But it's always, close to my heart. I really love it. It's really nicely animated as well. It's like really fluid.
Well,
I feel like,
I think like all Disney films are like beautifully animated. They have the best animators in the biz.
Yeah, I loved it. It's like that, like kind of 20s, 30s, like kind of jazz swing kind of vibe to it, which I really
there
like.
Is quite a few songs. Scales and Arpeggios is the song I was thinking of. There's also The Aristocats, the actual song. The Aristocats, like that actual title song. There's also Everyone Wants to Be a Cat. Yeah, a lot of these old Disney films have some questionable racial stereotyping, which I think if you watch one Disney Plus, it even says this is a product of the time.
There's like a little flag, like a little warning.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Aristocats, that's a surprising choice.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably be in my upper half. It's not as high as that for me.
Mm-hmm.
I am really fond of this film.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be in my top four.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect your choice of being in your top four. I do actually really love it.
Yeah. Okay, what's your four?
My number four is Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, okay. That's a real classic.
Yeah. The main reason is I love the animation.
Yeah.
In it. Okay. It has such a unique look.
Uh-huh.
I used like cel shading, I think, some early form of cel shading. So it looks like the idea is it's supposed to look more like stained glass, I think.
Yeah.
But
which really is a unique.
It still stands up as being a really uniquely animated film, especially for the ones of that era.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them have that classic Disney look. And this has that, but in just a very different way.
Yeah, it's a little bit like. I don't want to say elevated, but yeah, it just feels like lighter, kind of like a little bit more. This is just a different feel.
It's like very, not angular, but like the outlines are very
defined
is the word I'm looking for. It's a very like defined look. And this is one I had on VHS as a kid, and I always liked the way it looked, but when I was that young, I wouldn't be like, oh, because it's self-shaded, or like, oh, it's supposed to look like stained glass. I was just like, oh, it just felt different to the others to me. In a way that made it a little bit more... I know they're all based on fairy tales, but it made this one feel like a classic fairy tale for some reason. Even more so than the older ones like Snow White.
Yeah.
This felt like very classic.
Yeah, I think... I know, obviously, Snow White is like obviously quite like English, but this is very, because it's like dragons, knights, like fairy godmothers and like witches and stuff like that. And it's very like medieval.
Yeah.
Like really, really medieval.
When he is fighting through the brambles and thorns,
mm-hmm.
and cutting through with his sword, and the dragon is like flaming them all down.
Yeah.
Like to me, genuinely as a kid, I found that quite scary.
Yeah. Terrifying.
It's a very like serious tone to the end of this film. It's very, like you say, classic medieval story.
I feel like a lot of the older ones had that though. Like the ante was up. And I feel like it, like the danger has like softened in like more recent years. Like, you know, no one's getting stabbed or set alight or whatever, that kind of casual stuff that used to happen in old Disney films.
And as a villain, obviously Maleficent has been really popular in recent years as a villain.
Yeah.
I don't feel like this film has talked about as much. People like love Maleficent without thinking, oh, yeah, it's Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's a very, like, she's a good villain.
Yeah.
Like, she is very scary. Like I said, I found this kind of scary. And when he's... I just have very vivid memories as a kid of when he's fighting through the brambles and the flames are coming down, me being like, this is quite intense for me.
She's like, Maleficent's like quietly evil.
Yeah.
Sinister, which I think is more powerful.
Very sinister. And the dragon form is like really foreboding.
Yeah.
And you've got the classic, like Prince Philip, that's his name. He's like a real classic, you know, sword wielding hero.
Yeah.
And then you have the...
super stereotypical, like... heroic.
And then the fun, you always have to have like the fun characters. They're the fairies.
Yeah.
They're all really fun.
And is it his dad? Isn't it his dad and his uncle, the king and something else? And they're like quite jovial and.
I can't remember.
A bit more like.
I can't remember the dad and the uncle.
Yeah, look, come here.
Oh, yeah.
Like this guy.
I forgot all these things. Yeah, look at the star.
The colour.
So weird.
The colour in it is like really amazing.
All the like green flames as well.
Yeah, really cool.
Sorry, we're just looking at pictures from Sleeping Beauty now.
oh, the owl.
Yeah, yeah.
And the birds. Yeah, I remember. Amazing. I think it sets itself apart because the colours are so poppy. Like, they're so bright and vibrant. I mean, they're not, like, neon, but, like, they definitely have, like, a look compared to, like, the background, which is, like, really... green and dark and dour. Oh, I love this bit. He reminds me of Archimedes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the black letter. The artwork's like, that's incredible. So good. everything about that. It's like classic. It's like
this is a real like.
It's like medieval crossed with like Germanic kind of like style.
It's a lot. It's a very like artists love this film.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to like art fairs and art festivals. There's a lot of like influence from this because it's so distinct.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really nice. Wow. Cool.
So there we go. That's my number four, Sleeping Beauty.
Cool. Good choice.
Thank you. What is your number three?
My number three is Mulan.
Mulan.
Yeah. The art style in it is incredible.
Before you continue,
yeah,
I will say this is also on my list.
Oh.
This is my number two.
Oh, cool. I knew you liked it.
Yeah.
I remember because I showed it to you.
So, yeah.
This is a few years ago
now. I will say this before you continue. This is a film that it was one of the only classics I'd never seen.
Yeah.
It just passed me by completely. And about 4 years ago, something like that,
yeah,
we decided to like sort of patch in some holes of old Disney films that we'd never seen.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down to watch this and I wasn't expecting much of it. And I came away just like, oh my God, like I wish I had known this when I was younger.
Yeah.
And it like jumped right up. Like it's the most recent one that would be this high for me. Like I love it.
Yeah. I think the art style leans like towards like a more timeless like aesthetic because I've just put it up on IMDb and I'm like, oh, when did this come out? Came out in 1998 when I was 8 years old.
Mm.
And I thought it was like way later than that. So it definitely like, we probably got it when it came out or very soon afterwards. I was probably around like 8, 9 or 10 or
that,
something.
That
when
makes
I first
sense
saw
actually
it.
For me, because in 1998, that was the first time my mum, I was living at my mum's house, got a home computer.
Oh.
And our computer came with the Mulan Print Studio.
Oh,
whenever
cool.
The Print Studio discs used to always
used
come
to
with things.
I used to love them.
Yeah. And I'd never seen Mulan. I didn't know anything about it, but I used to love playing around with the Mulan Print Studio.
Yeah.
So I knew all the characters and stuff for so many years until I actually watched it only a few years ago.
So like, I want to say like like in my mind, it's like a newer one, but it's really not.
It's like solidly in the middle, isn't it, of the releases?
Yeah, the art style is really great. And I think I just really loved her. It's like quite a feminist, like, you know, she's a female. She disguises herself as a male, like does really death-defying feats and like is a really strong like role model. And then they only find out like afterwards kind of thing.
The thing that really surprised me about it is that actually the songs are amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of like the more recent ones, I always don't think of like the songs as being amazing or I don't remember the songs so much. Mm-hmm. So like Hercules for me is more recent. No, what's a good example of this? Tarzan.
Yeah.
Tarzan is a fine movie. I quite enjoy Tarzan.
Mm.
Wouldn't be one of my favourites. I consider it from like the same era. I think it's actually the one that came out after.
Yeah, it is the same era, yeah.
But I don't remember any songs from Tarzan.
No.
I'm sure for some people, if they were younger,
yeah,
they would be like, oh no, I love Tarzan. It has great songs, but I don't remember any. And Tarzan's just fine to me. But Mulan has great songs in it.
Yeah.
Like you stick in my head, like Be a Man is a great song. And that sticks in my head now. And I've only known this film a couple of years. So
is it because Eddie Murphy plays Mushu?
Well, that's another thing. I think this film has a great balance of like a serious storyline, but fun.
Comedic.
The right amount of like Disney fun.
Mm.
So the story is very compelling and serious and good.
Yeah.
They have an interesting setting, great characters, but then you've got just enough fun with Mushu and the little cricket bug thing.
Yeah. I think I really loved it as well because it's a culture that I didn't really know when I was 8 years old. I kind of had no concept of, like, I didn't really know anything about.
No.
Obviously, you kind of like know. I guess I'm trying to remember how much I would know about the world when
a lot of them is just like European settings.
Yeah.
And we're more used to like European stuff over here.
Well, yeah, I think you know, you have Grimm's fairy tales and all that kind of stuff when you're younger.
When you get something that's like the settings a bit more far flung, it's instantly like
alluring,
of an interest
like,
to
yeah,
you. Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm just looking at the list now and seeing if there was one that was like set. Jungle Book always interested me for that reason because it's an Indian setting and it wasn't just European. It reminds me of that in the, like, oh, it's a setting that you're not used to seeing in a Disney film. So you've instantly got an interest.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Lion King
had like Indian music.
Yeah, Lion King.
And Lion King had like African sounds. Yeah. And then this had Asian sounds. It's visiting different countries and continents.
And cultures. And, yeah.
Yeah.
And I really like the how they interweaved like the like traditional culture and stuff, and how she, I don't know how she had like conflicts against it, but actually it was like part of her and made her strong, and all that kind of stuff was really interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, I really loved it. It's a really, really cool film.
Yeah, like I say, for
Let's
me to put this so, for me to put this so high up on my list.
Mm.
Have and amongst all these other absolute classics I grew up with, after only seeing it like a few years ago, shows how much I love this film.
Yeah,
the fact that I put this at my number two.
It's so good though.
Yeah, great film. And I think,
like I was going to say, like you really liked Sleeping Beauty, but I think like the color palette and the way that they have been, like the art style is like a little bit similar.
Mm.
Like it's quite. Like cell shaded in parts, and like the, you know, colors and that sort of stuff.
Mm.
Anyway,
vibrant.
Yeah. But then also like quite. I'm just remembering when they're like in the mountains and stuff like that. Like it's quite like muted.
Mm.
But then, you know, Mushu's like bright red.
Yeah.
And there's lots of like symbology and stuff.
Mushu to me has a little bit of like genie about him. Where they get like a big famous comedic actor, comedian.
He's a big voice.
Playing
isn't he?
A very like over the top character in a story that has like a serious through line. Yeah. So Aladdin has like a good serious through line.
Yeah.
That's another good example of somewhere being set in another world. Like watching Aladdin as a kid, I was like, oh, I love this because it's, you know, Arabian Nights, that sort of thing. Like, oh, this is cool. So yeah, it's. Mushu is very much like Genie. They're doing the same trick, but it works.
Mm, yeah. So what's your number three then?
My number three is... So we've had a couple of few weirder picks so far, I think.
Yeah.
We talk about everyone has their own Disney picks that are like sort of personal to them.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sleeping Beauty. Not necessarily going to be on most people's lists.
Yeah.
Mulan might be on some people's lists, but it's not the most famous. Mm. What did you have? Aristocats. It's not going to be on many people's lists. This... is one that's so famous, it's probably going to be on most people's top five.
Beauty and the Beast.
Of the classic Renaissance era, this is my favourite, Beauty and the Beast.
Ah, do it.
This is, like, the classic, the Renaissance era, you've got Mermaid sort of kicked off, Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And then Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin, I forget which way around they come. Yeah, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King. That is the, what they call the Disney Renaissance.
Yeah. That's like me and my sister's like generation.
Everyone was going, everyone suddenly started going to see Disney films in the cinema again. I saw most of them, and I think I saw all of them in the cinema. And even after that, they sort of carried on Pocahontas.
Yeah.
But Hunchback of Notre Dame, Hercules, these are big as well.
We went to see Lion King in theatre, London.
Mm.
Like as a live thing.
I mean, that Renaissance really did continue until it just like, fell on its ass with Dinosaur, because you've got Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, Pocahontas, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Hercules, Mulan, Tarzan. These are all big.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, and then Fantasia 2000.
Yeah.
And then Dinosaur.
Yeah.
And then people lost interest, Atlantis, Treasure Planet, Brother Bear. These are like not as beloved.
They're just missing a step, weren't
and
they?
In amongst those, there's a couple of like weirder ones that people have a lot of love for. Emperor's New Groove.
Mm-hmm.
And Lilo and Stitch are sort of like real underdog favourites from amongst that, like them. Like
I remember Lilo and Stitch coming out and it was massive.
Yeah, I actually saw that. It was the first Disney film I saw at the cinema for years. Mm. And I was like an older teenager, but I was like, this does look fun. And I did really like it. And I know like now that's a real like cult favourite.
Yeah.
For the sort of generation
I
below
thought
me.
That's what like, I thought that's what Frozen was going to be like. But I think Frozen, I don't know how, but it's just... I'm not even that big a fan of Frozen, just putting out there, but it's just surpassed all expectations.
I think everyone's
massive.
Surprised at how big that was. And for me,
why.
I know this is opinion of, I think it seems to me that like anyone I talk to about Disney films who's like my age or older is like, or most people are like, yeah, I don't really get why Frozen has captured this like bunch of kids' popular interest. And everyone older seems to say, well, Tangled was much better.
Yeah.
And Tangled was really popular.
Yeah.
Like, really popular.
It just didn't, like, blow up.
But it wasn't as big as Frozen, like, overshadows it completely.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Again, it's an interesting setting, though, I suppose, Frozen, isn't it? It's like more Nordic.
Mm-hmm.
But then I found Tangled an interesting setting because it's more like, it's almost like Croatia, and it's that Mediterranean setting, which hasn't been explored much.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Tangled, but that's beside the point. We're talking about Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Which is just...
Rewind to... It
is flawless. Like, it is maybe the most perfect Disney film.
Yeah.
It's gorgeously animated. The story is amazing.
Mm.
The songs are amazing.
Yeah.
It has just that feel. Them classic Disney films, as soon as they start, like, the way they open and the music, you get, like, your feelings are drawn into... Your feelings are drawn straight into the film in a way that I can't quite explain what I mean. Like... Something like the Jungle Book, as soon as that starts with that like Indian flute, I'm like, ooh, like I'm sucked into the feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with Beauty and the Beast. As soon as it starts and you've got this old fashioned, like they're telling the story of what happened to the beast.
I was just looking at the list, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the only, like, when I remember the beast, he's not a villain, but he... Like, I found him very scary.
Yes, you're supposed to.
And I feel like this is the only Disney film that really focuses on... I'm going to call him the villain for the sake of it.
Well, he's not the villain.
Well...
Gaston is the villain.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, there's loads of them where it's like animals and humans together.
Yeah.
But he's not even... He's just like something else. It's like different. It's like a different thing. And he's one of the main characters. And he's not likable.
Yeah,
this at all. It's he's like a not really, like, it's
you,
like a
you
really
go on the
concept.
Journey with Belle.
Yeah,
you are scared of him.
Yeah,
and then you start to warm to him as she does. And then you know Gaston is gross. And he eats eggs for breakfast every day. By the way, if anyone's going to wonder what we think about any of the live-action remakes of these films, I've not watched them.
Have I seen any? No.
I've seen The Jungle Book, which was the first one they did, I think, and was like, no thanks. Yeah. They're this the same film. I'd rather watch the gorgeous animation.
I mean, I know it's a shame that they just don't make more good films, like new ones.
Yeah.
Instead of regurgitating stuff that's already been done to perfection.
I don't really understand... this is another debate. I don't really understand the point of remaking a film that's already great as it is.
Yeah.
And not changing it enough. They just make them the same, but with live action, and get rid of a lot of the fun. Like, I've not seen that live action Aladdin.
The thing is...
And people say that's one of the better ones, but the live action Aladdin doesn't even have, like... Iago doesn't, like, talk and isn't fun. He just squawks like a parrot.
The thing with animation is you can create so much more magic, I think, than live action, because live action is grounded in reality, whereas animation, you can do it.
Not grounded in reality now because they're still just CG. Like, calling the Lion King one a live action remake is a joke to me. It's just animated in a different way.
Unless they actually had, which they would never do because it's too dangerous, but like Lion...
No. I don't understand the point. I like the classic animation.
Yeah, I was just trying to think because Beast, it's like a really unique concept, isn't it? To have him as like really... a big focus, like normally all the characters that you're either like scared of or are kind of fearsome, let's say, are more like secondary and you're following like the hero. But Belle's more of like a hero, like she's, I don't know, what do you call her, a heroine?
Yeah, she's the main hero. She's the protagonist.
Yeah, it's just an interesting like story concept, I think, that kind of breaks the mold a little bit.
Yeah, I guess I guess what you're trying to say, like maybe... Like, you think he's the villain, but he's not.
Yeah, as a kid, like, watching it, you're like, oh my God, I'm terrified of this thing.
He is scary as well.
Yeah. But to have him, like, front and centre, what I'm saying, that's, like, quite unique.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good classic one.
And like I said, like, everyone has their favourites. It seems like the three that people seem to have the main favourite out of from that era is, like, it's Aladdin, Lion King, or this.
Mm-hmm.
And people sort of fall in a different camp of those classic three from the Renaissance.
Mm.
For me, this was always my favourite. Just because it has more heart, I think. It's not as silly. Like, the other two have quite a lot of humour in them.
Yeah, this
especially
one is
Aladdin. This is quite serious.
Yeah.
And I think I appreciated that as a kid because I'm like... I'm not really being spoken down to. I'm being told a serious story with scary moments.
Yeah.
And the closest you get to, like, silly, fun characters is, like, Lumiere and Cogsworth.
Yeah. But I think they're just like peppered in the right
amount. And they're not like totally comedic. They have they're quite sympathetic as well.
Yeah.
Because they're tragic. Everyone's tragic. It's a real, yeah.
Is this the one where they had, they did like a little bit of like 3D at the end, like right at the end when they're spinning around, is it CG stuff?
The first CG was in Aladdin.
Right.
Which is before this, which was the Cave of Wonders.
Yeah.
When the head comes out of the sand, the big lion's head, that's CG.
Oh, yeah.
And the magic carpet is completely CG.
Right.
The first CG character in a film.
Yeah.
And they tested out with that and it went over well. And then they introduced more CG elements into this.
Yeah.
So
it's the dance room, the ballroom,
it's where the camera sort of pans around them in circles as they dance. Yeah. It's all CG.
Which is, I think, the first time I really remember something being... like that, like really atmospheric and like impactful.
Yeah, they peppered it in like
wow.
I liked that era where they peppered in the CG.
Yeah, it didn't
like they did it in Lion King as well with the wildebeest chase. They could do things that would be very intensive for animators, but they can shortcut it by CG, but just add more than you would hand animating.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way that actually benefits the film.
Yeah.
Without.
And, unless you analyse it, I think kind of goes under the radar quite easily.
Yeah, I wouldn't have noticed that as a kid.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been like, oh, yeah.
It's different.
The animation looks different.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, this is a cool scene.
Mm.
But, yeah, great songs, Be My Guest.
Mm.
The opening song, like the one that Belle sings when she's walking through the town.
Mm.
Like Gaston's song when they're like, the beast.
Where's it supposed to be set?
It's France, isn't it?
Is it? Uh-huh.
I always think of it as French because it's like there's loads of bakeries and she's buying Gaston, bread and Gaston and Lumiere.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. It's very French. Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, Beauty and the Beast, my favourite of like the big sort of tentpole Disney movies.
Okay, so we've talked about your number two.
Yeah, my number two is Mulan, which we just spoke about. Your number two, Home on the Range.
My number two is Sword in the Stone.
Oh, of course. I should have guessed that. I was like, well, what's it going to be? Of course. I should have known this.
It's about Arthur and Merlin.
Yeah.
And it's a real traditional, like, English kind of, what do you call them? Not like fairy tale, because it's kind
fable.
Of real. Yeah, fable. It's so fun. It's a real fun one.
Well, you it's say quite that. Scary. I find it quite slow.
Yeah.
So I don't find it fun. I find it kind of dull.
Yeah, but when they're doing the dishes.
Yeah. This is where we disagree, this one. The thing is, I didn't grow up with this one. This is where we talk about, like, everyone has their favourites. And if you didn't grow up with it, you're like, really, that one?
Yeah.
This is probably how some people feel when we both say, you know, Mulan, or when you say Aristocats. They're probably
like, this is a really obscure one. I'm not denying it. This is probably no one else's. It probably wouldn't even appear this high on anybody else's like list. I don't know. But it just hit the spot. Like, I was just into this stuff. Like, I used to have, like my granddad used to make, he until very recently, he used to make, like, medieval, like, reenactment costumes and stuff like that. So I was surrounded by this kind of, like, stuff when I was little. And I just wanted to be, like, a little knight in shining armour like that whole childhood.
When we watched Mulan a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It was also the first time I'd watched this one.
Oh, right.
And I was actually really looking forward to watching this one. And by the end, I was like, it's kind of dull. Mm. It's a really weird film. It's just, like, lots of... There's a style of storytelling which I don't necessarily love all that much.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like there's not much of a through line, or the through line is very much in the background, and it's like a series of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So, then there's the bit with the squirrels, and then there's the bit with this, and then there's the bit with this, and it's just like loads of little things that happen. Oh, and then the end.
Mm-hmm.
Alice in Wonderland is like that to me. She gets big and then small, and then she goes to a tea party, and then she gets lost thing, and then she talks to the cat. Oh, and then it's the actual plot.
Yeah.
Oh, and Peter Pan's like that to me as well.
I just like the fact that. This is like it's about King Arthur, but he's like bullied. His name's like War. They call him War, and he finds this old weird magician guy who he thinks is a bit like naff. Because like when he's creating stuff, like when he's doing these magic tricks, they kind of sometimes go wrong, and like they're all weird and stuff like that.
It's not exact science magic.
Yeah. And then who's the witch? What's she called? I can't remember.
Gorgonzola.
Madame Mim.
Right.
Yeah, Marvelous Madame Mim.
Right.
They were just like batshit crazy.
Yeah.
And I kind of love that. It's just silly, like the whole thing. I mean, there is like a bit of like a, there's stuff at stake. Yeah, when kind of Merlin takes him under his wing and is like turning him into like all different kind of animals and stuff. And like really, he's trying to get Arthur to look at life from different perspectives.
Yes.
Which I really liked.
It's really weird. Like that whole section with the squirrels.
Yeah.
Is really poignant and weird and sad and a bit too deep. I don't think I'd have been able to handle the serious, the depth of it as a kid.
Yeah, because this little squirrel kind of like falls in love with him, but she doesn't know. And then he turns him back to a boy.
And he says something really sad and poignant in the end about it, like Merlin does. I can't remember what it is, but it's like, I was like, geez, man, like, ouch, baby.
Is it like...
Very ouch.
It's the same feeling as like when you like pet a cat when you're out in the middle of nowhere and then it follows you home and you're like, you can't follow me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That dog that followed us in Istanbul.
Yeah, he wanted to come with us and you just have to be like, no. Yeah, it's kind of like that. And I guess, yeah, I really like it. It's just weird, but amazing.
It has got like a weird, almost like sketchy art style, which I actually like.
Yeah, it's
scratchy,
quite like
art
scratchy
style, which I like. Mm. Normally that's the sort of thing I go for, which is almost like a surprise. I'm talking about like Sleeping Beauty's in my list because I love the way it looks. Mm. My normal preferred sort of type of art is more like scratchy or intricate or sketchy stuff. So I'm almost surprised that 101 Dalmatians didn't make it, because that's like the complete sketchy, weird, scratchy style.
I think this kind of paved the way for like Black Cauldron.
Yeah, but then Black Cauldron was a massive flop.
Yeah.
That was them trying to do like their own Lord of the Rings. Let's do an epic fantasy.
I mean, this
thing.
I don't think Sword in the Stone was massive at all by any means.
None from this era.
But I feel like it definitely... like Black Cauldron kind of took quite a lot of inspiration from.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Matt?
So you were a big fan of like English history as a kid then? Which would explain our number one.
Yeah. Robin Hood.
Yeah, Robin Hood is our number one. A is your number one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. It was mine as well.
No, it's 101 Dalmatians. I do love 101 Dalmatians. And 101 Dalmatians is very high up there.
Home on the Range.
Yeah.
Yeah, our number one is Robin Hood. Big fans of this film. I know for lots of people it awakened lots of confusing and strange romantic feelings when everyone fell in love with Robin Hood. He's blamed for the rise of the fairy movement. Dashing, charming Robin Hood.
Well, it came straight after like Aristocats, and I feel like the two what's his name in Aristocats?
Thomas O'Malley.
Yeah. I feel like Thomas O'Malley was a bit more...
rough.
Yeah, rough and ready. He was a bit more like laddish, whereas Robin Hood is a bit cheeky. But they are quite... they have a similar vibe, don't they? They're kind of like cheeky chappies. I love this film so much.
Yeah, this is the one I've seen the most. I think people underestimate how good the songs are in this as well.
Yeah.
People think of like great Disney songs, you know, Part of Your World and all that stuff, which I love, but the songs in this are just so good.
And I like the fact, okay, so I really like Sword and the Stone, but all of that is like humans.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like foxes and animals and stuff like that playing like humanoid characters.
Yeah.
Which I think is an odd thing.
It is really odd. Like, whenever they focused on animals, they didn't actually do that well.
And they didn't really do make animals doing human things. Like, if you think of, like, Lion King, they are just being lions.
That was the first one. That was the exception to the rule. Every time they tried to do something that wasn't basically the princess as a main character.
Yeah.
So like this, like Sword in the Stone.
Yeah.
They kind of didn't do that well. Rescuers, things like that.
Yeah.
That's why they'd always go back to...
Oh, that's another one where the animals are, like, a bit more humanoid.
Basil the Great Mouse Detective, all these ones like didn't do that well.
Yeah.
And that's why they just kept going back to like, well, our princess films do really well. Like, we just find another classic fairy tale storyline and do it based on a princess.
Prince John is such a good villain.
So what
he's
I will
like
say,
a pathetic.
This is I've got a dirty thumb. We often quote things from this film around the house. This is why I know it's like by far favourites, because, you know, not long after us meeting, we talked about how much we both love this film and watched this film together and stuff.
I think I wore out this VHS so much.
There's so many things from this that I will quote.
For my birthday, I got my granddad to make me a Robin Hood outfit in like properly tailored one. I had a little hat with like a little pheasant feather
Where
in it and
now?
Stuff. I don't know. So good. And I had a bow and arrow. I loved it so much.
If you ask me the time and it's a dead on o'clock, then you know, it's 10 o'clock and all's well.
Who's driving this banana stand?
Who's driving this banana stand is a line I use all the time. Maybe my favourite line from this film.
Clucky.
Who's driving this banana stand?
Clucky.
Lady Cluck's amazing.
She's so good.
So yeah, the song's Not in Nottingham. It's great.
Yeah.
The one about Prince John. When they were all taking the piss out of him. Robin Hood and Little John running through the forest, like great. Ooh, lally, ooh, lally, golly, what a day.
The rooster. He's
great.
Yeah,
well, he sings basically all the songs.
Yeah. He's like the narrator, isn't he?
He's the narrator, yeah.
It's so good. Hiss. You never around when I need you.
All the characters are great. Friar Tuck.
I can't even like articulate how much I love this film because it's so. Like,
so aside from being your like number one Disney film of all time,
it's probably
like
my
right
number one
there
film.
For just films in general,
yeah.
Full time.
Like, I know like a few of these I've been like, oh, like nostalgia just won me over, and that's why it's like up there. But I genuinely think like a lot of this, yeah, even though it is like really nostalgic for me and I love it, it's still an amazing film. Like if you saw it, if you had never ever seen it before and you saw it tomorrow, you'd be like, oh, that was really fun. I'm like, cool. And like exciting.
Oodle Alley. When I tell you, so you actually have an amazing piece of not memorabilia, but like artifact around this film.
Oh, yeah.
So over the years, me and Becca have been to lots of art festivals and comic cons and things like that.
Yeah.
Places where there's lots of independent artists as well as like renowned artists and things like that. And Becca has a big thick sketchbook.
Yeah,
which she takes with them, and she will ask them to ask, see if they want to contribute a picture of Disney's Robin Hood
their
in their style.
Yeah, I collect Robin Hood drawings.
So you have an amazing collection of drawings of Robin Hood. But the interesting thing is, like I said about, I feel like a lot of artists love Sleeping Beauty because it's so unique, they remember it. I feel like a lot of people have a lot of nostalgia for Disney's Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Because normally when you say, can you draw me Disney's Robin Hood, they sort of light up and get excited to do it, and they put... You
so
see them doing
effort.
Sketches for other people, and you see some of the ones that they've done in your book, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and all, like, for free as well. I feel quite lucky and, like, privileged to have asked somebody to do a sketch and then had, like, this is an A3 sketchbook, had full-on,
yeah,
like,
you ask them to do, like, a little outline, and some of them have taken up a whole A3 huge, like, detailed, beautiful
portrait,
picture.
Yeah, so good. And I think, the film just like resonates with everybody who's seen it.
Have you got any faves in your sketchbooks in case anyone wanted to name check any?
Mark Buckingham did a really nice one. Really, really, it's like shaded and everything.
Yeah, Mark Buckingham's is gorgeous. And the interesting thing about Mark Buckingham, he drew, his most famous thing is probably Fables.
Yeah.
He did the comic series Fables, which is one of my favourite sort of runs of comics of all times. And I commissioned a picture from him that's £150 and it's amazing. Like, it's one of my favorite things I own, but then I felt like he was just like, yeah, like, chuck this in for free, like, he just wanted to do the Robin Hood one for you.
Because also, like, I kind of like approached, when I ask, I kind of approach them, and then once they've done it, they end up having a look through.
Yeah,
so like, they don't know, I'm like, and I'm at the end, I'm like, oh, thanks, like, so much. Like, oh, by the way, like, I collect them. So there's a few in there if you want to have a look, kind of thing.
Mm.
And when they see who else has, like, contributed, it's, like really fun.
It's run, yeah, it's fun looking through the different ones. So, yeah, that's a fave.
Yeah, it's just so, such a good film.
There's some other good ones. David Peterson, his one's amazing.
Yeah.
He's the guy who does the Mouse Guard books.
Yes. His one's incredible because his art style is like very medieval, and anyway
it's perfectly suited and it's really intricate, his one.
Yeah.
And
who else did one?
Yeah, you got Scott C. You know, the guy who does the Great Showdowns artwork. He's worked with Double Fine, did Psychonauts.
Yeah,
from him in there,
he was lovely.
Really distinct styles.
Yeah, he was
throughout
lovely.
The book. Yeah, some amazing ones.
Crom, who did your
yeah, there's a Crom in
tattoo.
There. Emma Rios,
yeah,
a really nice Emma Rios one in there.
Yeah, and my friend Christina Bazinski.
Yeah,
she's based in Leeds as well, and we got her. I got her to do that before we even moved up here.
So it's a really nice mix of like. Relatively well-known artists and then sort of smaller
indie, more independent. Yeah, but
people.
I love everyone's approach to the character as well. So I'm just looking at a picture of Hiss in that balloon.
If you follow me on Twitter after this episode drops, I'll post a few examples of the Robin Hoods for
oh,
people
yeah.
who are interested. That
yeah,
nice.
Go on
so
then.
Follow me on Twitter. It's at Bob Shoy. See some of them at BOBSHOY. I'll remind you at the end.
I can't even talk anymore about the film. I'm
no,
like tongue-tied because I just
film.
Love it.
Brilliant, and we both love it, and it's amazing that it was so sort of special to both of us as children separately, and then for us to both be like, whoa, oh my god, like you love that film too.
Yeah.
So yeah, our number one,
Rob the Rich, Feed the Poor.
Yeah, Eat the Rich. So who did that? One of the artists in your book wrote Eat the Rich.
I love it.
On his Robin Hood picture.
Okay, so are you doing your plus one or shall I do mine?
No, it's your turn.
Okay, so my plus one is Fantasia.
Fantasia, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
The original 1940.
The original Fantasia.
Mm-hmm. I think after seeing this, it just blew my mind. Like, it was so cool and psychedelic and, like, you know when your mind just gets, like, overloaded with information? And I think, like, the concepts in it and the way that they were executed and, like, the art, the different art styles. And it's basically just a big compendium of, like, look at all this cool shit.
Well, it's amazing. It's animated to music.
Yeah.
So the skill involved of
the timing.
Matching everything up perfectly to music.
So good. And some bits are, like, it's quite scary. I found it quite scary in places. And then just, like, incredible, like, all the... like centaurs, like that. Mm. I think, like, in terms of fueling my young self, like, creatively, this was amazing.
This is one that I've seen this loads of times, actually.
Mm.
It's one that I would never, like, choose to sit and watch.
No.
It's one that I feel like I should like because it's almost like eating your vegetables. Like, oh, yeah, I agree, this is brilliant, but then I'm never going to sit and watch this. Like, I'm actually just going to get bored if I sit and watch this.
It's just really
high concept.
But at
the same time, I really like it. Like, I do agree that it's good.
It's really high concept. I mean, like, all the... what's, like, the ghosty stuff? That was amazing. Like, where they're all, like, they're made of light and they're all coming out of the ground. And, yeah, it was...
It's
yeah, the
creepy
conceptual,
in places.
Yeah, really
I'm
conceptual.
I find it quite creepy.
And there's the old... like wizard guy and then there's even like a massive like winged like devil
that bit's creepy
but then there's also like
the
centaurs,
big hippos
then the ostriches or like
and stuff.
And the little flappy
and then obviously the sorcerer's apprentice section is like the real famous
and then there's like the mushrooms and the flower dancing and stuff
I do know it really well. As soon as you say all the stuff I'm like I know that bit.
Yeah, it's just amazing, and the colours and the way that it... I like the fact that it's also almost like lots of little shorts, isn't it? Because it's like different art styles and stuff. Like
it goes into different like acts of the suite.
And there's a big dinosaur bit as well.
Mm.
Yeah, really, just like I'd never seen anything like that ever in my life.
No,
before.
And it is
and it
very
amazing.
Unique and singular in its in what it does.
So if you want to blow your child's mind without... giving them any drugs.
And I've never seen Fantasia 2000.
I have.
Is it good?
Yeah, it is really good, actually. Mm. I think I probably watched that more when I was younger than this.
Really?
But I feel like this...
is more classic.
Is more classic, and it also... like, it was came out in 1940. Like, The caliber
that is
the caliber of animation.
It came out in 1940.
Yeah, the caliber of animation and the concepts in this are incredible.
I thought that was after the war, that one, but no.
No. Like, it's so good.
Wow. Yeah,
and I think I have seen Fantasia 2000 more because that came out in 1999.
Right, yeah.
So I was like 9-ish. Mm-hmm. So that would have been like the new Fantasia. And it does, they redid The Sorcerer's Apprentice for Fantasia 2000. So that's in it as well, like again. But there's also like different other stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
The art style is definitely more, it's like similar but more modern. But with the Fantasia, the original one, there's like lots of different art styles. With Fantasia 2000, it's all quite like similar of the of the time, of like the period. But yeah, this just blew my mind.
Yeah, good pick.
And I think that's why you should give it a watch.
Good pick. In the spirit of one more as a pick.
Yeah. So,
My one more is a bit of an odd one because it's not like probably in my top 10 Disney films or anything. But I think it's because it was such a surprise how much I liked it. So I wanted to give a nod to one of the more recent films because we're all going to be like talking about the ones that are around when we grew up, basically. Yeah. This one has a different name in the US to the UK. So this is, you know, Zootopia / Zootropolis. So this,
another fox protagonist.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's just Robin Hood, like Mark 2.0. Yeah. And again, and another like charming fox. You've got Jason Bateman, who puts in like probably my favorite Jason Bateman performance as an animated fox, but it's so great.
Yeah.
So charming. But I was just so surprised at this film because it didn't look like something I would like.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of like the DreamWorks style humor, and this looks like that.
It's like really earnest.
But then when you watch it, it's so much fun, but also it's got a good plot and the characters are great. Like the two main characters and like all the characters got great voice cast throughout the whole thing.
I think, do you think that because normally in the real, in like the wild, they would be like pitted against each other? Obviously, like foxes eat rabbits, so like there's that. But she actually has like authority over him because she's like a law enforcement officer.
Yeah, and it plays with a lot of those ideas and it plays like quite kind of, I was quite shocked at how sort of in the weeds it got with like race relations and things like that. It's kind of shocking that like a kid's film would be like hitting these topics.
Just because you're a rhino doesn't mean you're like not better, you're better
it's really weird. And you got Idris Elba, who's like a great does a great voice role in it as well.
He's a really powerful voice.
He's really like intimidating, his character in it,
because
he has that like deep powerful voice. So yeah, it was just one that I was so shocked by, and when I watched it, I would for a while afterwards, I was constantly telling people like, no, you should watch it, like it's really good.
It's a little bit like detective-y as well, isn't
it? Yeah,
which I really liked.
It's that almost like Mulder and Scully, like the rabbit and the fox, like Mulder and Scully. But it's also, it's really nice, like a lot of, I like classic 2D animation, probably might more than CG, but for a modern CG film, like this looks really nice as well. Like it's got more, it doesn't look like a Pixar film. Pixar has its own look.
Yeah.
But it looks, it's like if DreamWorks made films that I thought looked nice.
Yeah.
It's like a much nicer looking of like kind of what more DreamWorks animation does.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is my one more just because I was so surprised at how much I liked it.
Yeah, it's one of the better new ones.
And how different it is to the other stuff they've done. It's not like anything like Tangled or Frozen or anything like that. And I do think they're having like another like bit of a renaissance because I like a lot of their new CG films. Like Frozen isn't for me.
Yeah,
I accept that. I appreciate that kids love it, but I really like Tangled. I really liked Wreck-It Ralph. I really like Big Hero 6. And I really like this. Like they've run another bit of like a renaissance.
I think this is definitely my favorite one out of those,
of the new ones.
Yeah,
me too. That's why it's here as my representation for the new stuff.
Yeah, it's so good. Reminds me a bit of Monsters, Inc. Like the vibe.
Yeah, a little bit. Like a town full of creatures. And in this case, animals.
Like real diversity.
When she goes into the city for the first time.
Yeah.
It's like entering, is it Monstropolis?
Yeah.
It is like entering that for the first time in that film and seeing everything
and
around.
It's everybody, and like same in Monsters, Inc. as it was in the police force as well, like everybody kind of like works to their strengths and like everybody who is unique works together for the greater good sort of thing. And that's kind of like, I think, the same vibe with like Zootopia as it is with like Monsters, Inc.
So yeah, I appreciated that it went for, say, like took some big swings.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the messaging isn't quite 100% perfect.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the efforts and the,
to
like,
do
the more like the deeper topics it was willing to approach in basically
in a kid's
film.
Movie, yeah. Kudos. Yeah, it's really fun.
But then like the classic old ones did that as well. When you talk about The Beast, you know, yeah, basically don't judge someone on their appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually a decent guy if you give him a chance, that sort of thing. Like, they do have like these simplistic, maybe more so in the older ones, but like deeper messaging.
Mm.
And I think this one had a good, had interesting, and it went in interesting directions that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, like a really nice subconscious underlying messaging.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah, so, I love it. Well done. Nice choice.
So that's,
I didn't expect you to say that, so that's cool. But I'm glad you did, because it's, I love, I really do. It's reminded me how much I really like that film.
Yeah, so that's our 411 Disney. Are there any that you wanted to mention, any that were close to you?
Probably like 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah.
Definitely up there. It was, I think it was like Aristocrats or 101. Because 101 was massive. Like, it was absolutely massive film.
I love the
art style.
Like, the sort of plinky, jazzy.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Aristocrats.
Yeah.
But,
same vibe.
And the animation is gorgeous in 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah.
I think we're saying about all of them, like Disney animation is the best. So that's, you know, if you're a Disney animator, you're top of the tree. So.
And Cruella de Vil was a really iconic villain, isn't she? So good. So yeah, I love that. Anything else? We mentioned Jungle Book a lot. That was one of the ones I used to watch a lot as a kid.
Yeah, that's great.
I
love the atmosphere it creates. I love India anyway. I've talked about that on podcasts quite a lot. So like the Indian setting, like, I really loved.
I'm going to mention like The Rescuers and The Rescuers Down Under.
Right.
Because I watched them quite a lot.
See, they're not
as a
ones
kid.
That I have a lot of memories of. Yeah. Seen them both,
really,
but they don't stick with me. One that I did love, I did mention it briefly earlier, was Basil the Great Mouse Detective.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's another like English set one. So maybe that.
Yeah.
Why? But then I loved... what's his name? Vincent Price as Ratigan is just such a great villain. Mm-hmm. A bit like Prince John, like kind of pathetic, but more intimidating than Prince John. But like, I love that performance and he's such a great underrated villain. And my favorite whole thing about that is that when he sets up the death trap for Basil towards the end, he like sings the song. He's recorded the song sung himself and starts playing it on the record player. He's so like egomaniacal. In a way that I really find funny.
I'm going to put Peter Pan out there as well.
I'm not a big fan of Peter Pan.
I was going to say, I don't know if we watched it a lot. I remember watching it a lot. And I'm not sure if I was like in love with it, but it's definitely worth a mention because I think it is, again, like a real classic, classic Disney. Part of that like real group that was like this shaped, like early Disney stuff.
And we mentioned Aladdin. Like, I loved Aladdin, loved the genie.
Dumbo and Bambi as well.
Not a big fan of either of them. Them older ones, I'm just like, they're so dry. Like, I didn't like Pinocchio. Pinocchio's scary.
I didn't like Pinocchio either.
Too scary.
Yeah. But I did love Snow White, Dumbo, Bambi.
Right.
Them three I really loved.
Of those, probably like Dumbo the most.
I probably like Bambi the most.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
not a big fan of Bambi. I quite like the April Showers bit.
Really nice. I like Thumper as a character. It's really good.
Cinderella I loved. That was one that was really like watched a lot because I liked the mice when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun. And we said like of the sort of after the Renaissance but before the new ones, I do think Emperor's New Groove and Lilo and Stitch are like the
Emperor's New Groove you watched.
Quite, I watched
in that same like stint that we did a few years ago.
Yeah, and I was surprised at how I actually found that really funny. Like,
I love
it
because it's like Inca, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
it's Aztec.
Yeah, Mayan or something.
Is the villain Aztec or Mayan or whatever? Well, it's that South American
ancient. Yeah.
But Yzma's a great villain in that as well.
Yeah.
There's fun characters like Kronk in it. It's fun.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how fun that film was. And it's so breezy. It's like just over an hour long.
Lilo and Stitch. Yeah, that's a real favourite, isn't it?
Mm.
But then you get some that are just lost, like Treasure Planet, Brother Bear.
I've watched all of them. There's only a couple of ones I haven't watched, like Treasure Planet, Brother Bear, Chicken Little. No, I have seen it, but no, thank you.
Bolt.
Never seen Bolt. It's one of the only ones I haven't seen. Never seen Home on the Range or Bolt.
I feel like I wish you put the years on these so I could just be like, look, this year range was quite enough. I feel like they just had a real...
When Pixar came around, it was like, do we carry on doing CG? Do you think all the good people
just like jump ship then and kind of left them in the lurch?
I don't know what happened, but they just didn't know what... They didn't have an identity.
Mm.
And they tried to do CG for ages and it wasn't working and everyone preferred the Pixar ones.
Stick to what you know.
And then they went back and did one more animated film, which was Princess and the Frog, which is great.
Yeah.
Really, like... I would say forgotten, but for a lot of kids, like, it's a real, they love it.
Yeah.
So for a lot, like, they're opening Princess and the Frog.
It's a really great storyline as well.
Area in Disneyland now they're developing. Mm. So it's obviously popular enough for them to develop that.
Yeah, cool.
And it's another cool setting. You got New Orleans is like a cool setting for a film, a Disney film.
Because
so that is a good film.
We watched some, on the Disney Channel, we watched some documentaries recently about the, like, composers.
Yeah, there's some really good ones on there. There's the Howard Ashman documentary that's fairly recent, just called Howard. That's really good.
He did... What ones did he do?
Basically the Renaissance era ones. Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
He did Little Mermaid as well.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
That's why they got pretty great soundtracks.
They have amazing soundtracks.
What was the other one as well?
He's from musical theatre.
With the two brothers.
The Sherman Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Boys was the name of that documentary.
They did some like older stuff. Definitely... They're worth a watch as well if you're interested in any of like the music.
If you're interested in the music, yeah, The Boys and Howard, both on Disney Plus, really good. If you're interested in the animation, Frank and Ollie's really good.
Oh, yeah.
About two of the classic animators from the very early days of Disney.
Yeah, that's
and
really fun.
Also, Waking Sleeping Beauty is a really good one, which is about the Disney Renaissance. It's about them hitting that slump and then
kicking themselves up the bum
and
to
then
get it going.
Sort of waking the industry, the company again and getting going and pulling themselves out of that slump.
Yeah.
So there's some really good documentaries on Disney Plus for this stuff. But yeah, I recommend all four of those.
Mm-hmm.
So Frank and Ollie, Waking Sleeping Beauty, The Boys and Howard.
Yeah. So I hope you've enjoyed this trip down our memory lane.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a bonus. And I'm always interested in which ones people liked. So if you have different Disney favourites or want to talk about Disney films and which ones you liked and didn't like, if you agreed with ours, didn't, or didn't, you can go to knownforpod@gmail.com.
Yep.
Or you can go on knownforpod.com, the website.
Yep.
This is now part of my podcast network. So if you go to bobshoy.com, bobshoy.com, you can see other podcasts I work on, which you might also be interested in as well. And you can contact me.
How to contact everyone.
Yeah, you can contact me directly on Twitter as well, which is @bobshoy, @bobshoy. And hopefully I remember, when this episode goes live, on that day I'll post some of the nice
sketches.
Robin Hood sketches that Becca has. I'll try and post a few of those.
Thanks to everybody who contributed to my sketchbook.
Yes. And hopefully when we're allowed to actually go places again after Hell Year is finished, maybe we can fill out some more sometime.
Yeah. Cool. So thanks for listening.
Yeah. And we'll be back next month for the final episode in this run, which will be our Chadwick Boseman retrospective.
Cool.
So
thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
A crime. We know by now that time knows how to fly. So here's goodbye. So soon you'll find your separate way. If time's so short, I'll say so long and go. So soon.